going to call to order a regular meeting for the Grover Beach City Council for Monday, March 21st, 2011. Would you all please rise and have a moment of silence for those who recently perished in the disaster in Japan? Thank you. Please remain standing. Has become a tradition in our city, we invite the youth up to lead us in the flag salute, and so it's one of the favorite parts of the meeting. Tonight's flag salute is going to be led by Matthew Cortez. Matthew is 9 years old and a third grade student at Grover Beach Elementary School, and he enjoys learning about science, math, and language arts. Science is his favorite subject because he learns about plants, animals, and space. He has lived in the area for 4 years. He and his family enjoy the time they spend together, either going out to dinner, to the beach, or watching a movie at home. It's great family time. Matthew would like to become a scientist, possibly studying stars and other planets. He would also like to be an astronaut and visit Mars. Matthew's interests include snowboarding, playing basketball, and baseball. And I believe he's accompanied this evening. Matthew's your mom is here, or grandma's here. Grandma, and I believe Principal Juan Alvarez is here as well. So, Matthew, I'd like to lead us.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Matthew. And before you leave, look here. So Matthew has a special request tonight, and he is a young man who knows what he would like. So I'm going to give you this certificate of appreciation for coming down and leading us in the salute. Thank you. And here's some more school supplies. So now he would like a picture with the entire council, so everyone needs to come in close and look at Matthew. And I'll do this.
So what's that one from eBay now?
Oh, he's a good test. Did he get a picture?
Yeah.
Did mom? Because he's a police chief. Did you get a picture? Come back here. Don't be shy.
I want to talk about a lineup.
Thank you,
buddy. Well done. Well done.
Thanks for doing that, man.
Okay, roll call.
Councilmember Bright.
Here.
Councilmember Molnar.
Here.
Councilmember Peterson.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Nichols.
Here.
And Mayor Scholes.
Here. Thank you, Donna. We have no closed session announcements tonight, so we're going to move to agenda review. This is when the council reviews the order of the agenda as presented by staff and decides if we want to take the agenda in order or make any changes to the agenda. Do any members of the council want to change the order of the agenda?
I'll move that we accept agenda as presented. I'll second that.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. If there's no discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? None. Motion carries. So we will proceed with business as outlined in the agenda. I believe there are extra copies on the table and back. So we are going to move into our ceremonial calendar. We have two items on the calendar this evening. And the first is a proclamation declaring April 2011 as Autism Awareness Month. And reading this proclamation will be Councilmember Grace Molnar.
Thank you. I'd like to start by saying that before I became city council and even my bookkeeping business, I did work for 10 years in early childhood. And I have personal experience with autistic children. And I realized the importance of recognizing autism and working with autistic children and even the prevention of autism. There's a lot of research out there leading to many things that are now pointing towards helping or causing autism in children. And so tonight I'd like to take the opportunity to read this proclamation. Whereas autism is a complex neurobiological disorder that typically lasts throughout a person's lifetime, it is part of a group of disorders known as autism spectrum disorders. And whereas autism affects all persons regardless of race, religion, socioeconomic status, or geography, and whereas the incidence of autism in San Luis Obispo County reflects the national rate of 1 in 110, and a child is diagnosed with autism every 20 minutes, and whereas ASDs are the fastest growing serious developmental disability, making these disorders more common than pediatric cancer, diabetes, and AIDS combined. And whereas individuals with ASDs and their families face tremendous and overwhelming challenges in accessing and navigating the complex programs and services for these disorders. And whereas individuals with ASDs are valuable and talented citizens. And whereas the Central Coast Autism Spectrum Center will celebrate Autism Awareness Month in the Walk for Autism and Autism Awareness Fair on April 3, 2011 in Mission Plaza. Both events help to increase and develop knowledge regarding autism and of our paramount importance in creating an emphatic and compassionate citizenry. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the City Council of the City of Grover Beach does hereby proclaim April 2011 as Autism Awareness Month, recognizes and commends the talents, abilities, and contributions of the individuals in our community diagnosed with ASDs and their parents, relatives, and professionals that provide valued services. In witness thereof, as Mayor of the City of Grover Beach,
you know, we'd need to read that part.
Okay.
You're good.
It's my first time.
It's okay. Is there someone here to receive the proclamation?
I want to thank you so much on behalf of the Autism Spectrum Center for doing this. And as a parent of a child, I thank the City of Grover Beach for this awareness that affects so many of our kids and members of our community, and that we are having our third annual Walk for Autism in the Mission in San Luis, April 3rd.
Great. And what was your name? We're going to let you get off the hook that easily.
Mercedes Meyer.
Nice to meet you. Thank you, Mercedes.
Thank you.
So the next item on our ceremonial calendar is a proclamation declaring 2011 as the year of celebration of the 100-year anniversary of California women having the right to vote. And so I figured there are, rather than flipping a coin with the three of the ladies up on this council, I will do the honors this evening. This is a proclamation declaring 2011 as a year of celebration of the 100-year anniversary of California women having the right to vote. And it says, whereas in 1911, Proposition 4, which was a constitutional amendment number 8, was placed on the October 10, 1911 special election ballot giving California women the right to vote, and whereas California women campaigned across the state, stopping in rural counties and cities gaining support from local women and men as a part of their strategy, and whereas the hard work of strong local suffrages and their male supporters garnered enough yes votes to pass Proposition 4, and whereas the cities of San Luis Obispo County, which collectively proudly cast yes votes by a 12% margin to counteract the no votes of their counterparts in some large cities, and whereas the San Luis Obispo County vote helped California become the sixth state to give women the right to vote, which was instrumental in getting the 19th Amendment passed nationally in 1920, and whereas 2011 marks the 100th anniversary of California women having the right to vote, now therefore be it resolved that the City Council of the City of Grover Beach does hereby proclaim 2011 as a year of celebration of the 100-year anniversary of California women's right to vote. And I believe we have Ms. Trudy Jarrett here, who is the first. No? No. So who do we have?
Everybody come in.
Oh, got to get the ladies in the picture. Okay.
Yes.
Can you just stand back here?
Either there or...
You want to stand there, don't you? I guess we better celebrate.
You too, Bill. Come on.
It looks kind of bad if you don't get involved.
On behalf of the women of Virginia Beach, and it is really fitting at this time because March was the Women's History Month, and this is the 100th anniversary of women receiving the right to vote in California. And I particularly, being a South County person, am very proud of the fact that it was the small cities in the rural counties that got this passed. So I think we all have a great deal to be proud of, and certainly our male supporters. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Did anyone else have any comments? Okay. So let's move on in our agenda this evening, and I believe we are going to now move into public communications. We have no presentations tonight. So this is a opportunity for any member of the community to give input to the council. Any member may address the council for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item within the jurisdiction of this council. Please bear in mind that we cannot take action for any item that has not been placed on the agenda. And if you are here to speak on an item that is on the agenda, I will give you adequate time at that moment. So I will open up public communications. Before I go down the road, I'd like to recognize an individual who has joined us this evening, and it is Supervisor Adam Hill from the 3rd District. So, Adam, good to see you.
Thank you, Your Honor. Honorable Counsel, Adam Hill, your representative from the Board of Supervisors, and I'm happy to be with you this evening just to give you a quick update on things and to take back any questions you might have. I worked with Five Cities Fire Chief Mike Hubert and with Mayor Scholes on getting an AED for this facility. The fire chief wanted to be able to put these defibrillators in as many public buildings as possible, so we talked about it, talked to the mayor, talked to the city manager, and I decided I would give $2,000 of my community funds so that Grover Beach City Hall could be the first place to have that. So at some point, I think we'll have installation of it once Chief Hubert is able to acquire that. So I'm happy to partner with you on that. Things in the county, we're moving forward as everyone else is on making, you know, difficult decisions budgetarily, but we have been able to make significant progress in our compensation reforms. Tomorrow on our agenda, we have our biggest unit accepting second tier for new employees on pension. Our strategy has been to reform everything from prevailing wage to pension for future employees, and also pension pickup for current employees. And to date, you know, we have about 2,400 employees, about 18 bargaining units. It's gone reasonably well. We haven't had to have too many bloody battles, and it's a lot of that's due to our employees who've been very good about it and understanding that, you know, we need to solve our problems together. So we feel the board feels very pleased with the progress we've been able to make. Some other things of interest. About 2 years ago, when I was first on the board, I remember coming here because there was a question about the Los Osos wastewater project. Mm-hmm. Last week was a significant milestone. The county formally accepted the project and moves ahead now into the bidding and construction phase. What that means for, I guess, for us locally is that the very first thing that will happen when the assessments come in is that the general fund loan that had been used over the last probably 4 years since the Blakeslee bill brought it to the county, will be the very first thing paid back. So we expect by the end of June, before any money gets applied to the actual construction, and we hope that construction, you know, bids will go out this year and construction should begin as soon as possible, but before any of the money goes towards construction, it will go to repay the general fund loan in at the end of June. Talk to our public works director today, and everything's in line for that, so we feel good about that. I've also been working with city manager and the mayor and others in South County on Zone 3 issues and Zone 3 improvements in terms of essentially having the representatives, particularly elected representatives, have more of a voice. So we have been having regular meetings on Zone 3 issues, on other water issues, and I think it's been very productive all across the board with the mayors of all the South County cities, with the Oceano district, and also with the city managers. And so what else? So that's sort of covering it for now, and I'll be happy to answer any questions if you have.
Thank you, Supervisor Hill. Any questions? Don't let him off the hook, you know. So on the Los Osos, that's good news on Los Osos wastewater and
right.
repaying the general fund.
Yep.
So I think one of the concerns that this council and a previous council had is we were concerned about the inordinate amount of time that county staff was spending there. So hopefully this means that we can move beyond that and get some of your attention down here. You've been doing a really good job.
Well, the public works team especially, and Supervisor Gibson, I think particularly, have spent, I can't imagine how many hours, certainly more than I could imagine, on getting things in line and working well on financing and low-cost interest financing through federal and state agencies as well. So for a project that has been over three decades in the making, which seems, you know, insane almost, or not almost, for a sewer project, but it looks like that this year's where all the milestones have happened, and we'll be able to perhaps move on to other exciting infrastructure projects.
Great, and I think we'll look forward to working with you on all the things you mentioned, as well as implementation of the Grover Beach Technology Master Plan.
Yep.
And then I think, I don't know if Bob had talked with you about some undergrounding districts we've gotten. I know the county has funds that we would love to have some conversation about helping us underground some of these overhead transmission lines.
So. Yeah, well, I always remain accessible and interested in working with you and your city staff, and been able to do so on quite a lot of issues. So as much as we possibly can, we'll work together.
Great to see you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I have two speaker request forms, Brad Snook followed by Jeff Pinack.
Good evening, Council. My name is Brad Snook. I'm the volunteer coordinator for our county's chapter of the Surfrider Foundation. My statement is primarily about two issues tonight. The votes that should have happened over the last 8 weeks, and the vote that did happen, though it shouldn't have, on last Wednesday night. For almost 8 weeks, our chapter has been asking for an independent investigation into potential malfeasances by plant administrator Wallace Group at the South Slo County Sanitation District. We have been asking your council, as stakeholders, to vote and advocate for action regarding potentially illegal actions of the plant brought to light by whistleblowers, the subsequent State Water Board notices of violation, a massive sewage spill at the wastewater treatment plant in December, a chief plant operator who's in danger of losing his certification because he used fraud or deception in reporting effluent samples, and in the interest of safeguarding environmental health. None of the community councils have taken up a vote and officially, transparently addressed these issues. For community servants who are supposed to be overseeing and protecting environmental health, why does Surfrider have to ask for your transparent oversight of these emerging issues at the sanitation district? Why didn't council members actually show up for last week's meeting or get the sanitation district's meeting videotaped for later viewing? If you would have been there last week, you would have witnessed an alleged attempt by district council to intimidate Surfrider activists. You would have witnessed one member of the board of directors, whose community was directly affected by the massive sewage spill last December, stand up and comment affirmatively for an investigation. and you would have seen the other members vote to essentially stay the course while advocating for peer review. First of all, the agenda item clearly stated staff recommends the board review district council's report and discuss whether or not to conduct an independent investigation of the district's management. Nowhere does it say vote. In fact, Mayor Ferrara on KCOY News, broadcast on March 3rd, 2nd, and 3rd, said that it would be put on the agenda for discussion only. When they voted last Wednesday, the board of directors short-circuited the process of public comment. Secondly, in peer review, the leadership that calls the meeting sets the guidelines for what and how the review is conducted. With a peer review, you're trusting the same leadership who have potentially played a part in getting the district into this mess to design the rules for how they'll be reviewed. No accountability for leadership, no measurability on the results of peer review or how recommendations are carried out. Peer review, in this case, will be a bridge to nowhere. As stakeholders, we request that you direct staff to assure future Sanitation District Board of Directors meetings are videotaped and posted to the Sanitation District's website. The board needs more stakeholder oversight and guidance, and present audio recordings apparently are not adequate to assist in achieving that purpose. We also ask that the staff place an item on your next agenda where your members can vote to support an independent investigation of potential malfeasances by plant administrator Wallace Group at South Slo County Community Sanitation District's wastewater treatment plant.
Mr. Snook, I need you to wrap up.
Okay, one more paragraph. Thank you. Our communities need a highly trained third-party independent investigation team with a scientific background and sound understanding of finances for this investigation. The investigator needs to evaluate how, when, where, and by who samples were collected, dumped, not dumped, analyzed or not analyzed, and whether the plant administrator and chief engineer condoned this toxic culture and or benefited financially. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Pynack?
Thanks very much for the opportunity to address the council and you, Mayor Schultz. Appreciate that. Jeff Pynack, Surfrider Chair and Oceana resident. I'm primarily here just to read some informational things that are public record, and this is from the State Water Resources Control Board on July 21st, 2010, certified mail to Mr. John Wallace, South San Luis County Sanitation District. Notice of violations, South San Luis County Sanitation District. There are six violations here, and I know Mr. Wallace has responded to those in the time, but I just want to read the violations so everybody knows what's going on. The following deficiencies represent violations of the district's NPDES permit. One, an up-to-date operations and maintenance manual was unavailable during the inspection. Quote, that the lack of O&M manual compromises consistent and optimal facility performance. Furthermore, the lack of O&M manual limits the district's ability to make effective process adjustments, corrections, or improvements, except for those based upon memory. An up-to-date O&M manual is necessary for proper facility operation. I'm going to skip back to the top, though, for something that says these deficiencies were discussed with you during the site visit. So these were actually discussed. Standard operating procedures and written directions for operators to use in the operation and preventive maintenance of treatment facilities were not available. As described above, direction regarding standard operating procedures is based upon verbal communication. Verbal communication really doesn't work. That's my comment. Written SOPs are necessary for proper facility operation. And I don't know for how many years there were no SOPs at the plant. The most important one is violation six, review of the plant's completed work orders, revealed evidence of improper collection of effluent samples. Effluent limits specified in the district's permit apply to all wastewater discharged, not just some of it. Anytime anything goes out that outfall, it applies. Also, the procedure and or direction of avoiding sampling when the effluent is anticipated to be of poor quality violates the discharge permit and constitutes improper effluent monitoring. Our records indicate that Our records indicate that the last updated information submitted by the district with regards to requiring agencies to submit within 30 calendar days any changes of treatment process, our inspection revealed that several changes in plant operation have occurred, and certified operators and or disciplinary action since 2000 were not reported to the Office of the Operator Certification. That's 10 years. Written compliance sampling. Written sampling procedures are necessary for consistent plant performance and discharge compliance monitoring. Certain records of monitoring information, i.e. completed preventive maintenance sheets, daily round sheets, were not retained for a period required by the discharge permit, minimum of 3 years. Raw data must be maintained and available for review of the specified period. Mr. Wallace's comment at the Sanitation District meeting was that he didn't know there was a requirement. I just want to say one in closing. One thing, we had a meeting with the County Environmental Health folks just the other day, two of our Surfrider members. And one of the things that we're going to be having is certainly we're going to have that sewer plant tour, as Mr. Wallace has invited us upon. But one of the things, if the effluent's going out and it's clean and there's no violations on it, then we are actually looking for the opportunity to have an independent sampling of the water that goes out that outfall. And there is, in fact, a place where it can be sampled. And we would like to have a plant, someone in the plant, actually take that sample and turn it over to a chain of custody that is unquestioned and have that essentially analyzed properly. And, of course, if everything's going as planned, then those samples should be clean. And I thank you very much for your time tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Pynak. Very good. I don't have any other blue forms, but I want to see, is there anyone in the audience that would like to address the Council on Public Communication?
When can we ask about this? Maybe? Commissioner Scott.
I'm not used to the blue slip yet. John A. Wysong, Gore Beach. Constructive criticism never hurt anybody. I've said it 10,000 times. It's a truth that hurts. And right before Christmas, I gave you a square and a level. And I asked for it to be put up there so that when you people make decisions, that the people of Grover, that you're doing an honest job and working honestly for them. Tonight, as I see the lakes are filling up, and I go back to that water deal, you know, trust. So I want to see that from now on, and I want to see the people get fair opportunity. And I really don't like politicians and big business for the last 5 years, and you know why. But politicians get one nice check, paycheck. And they also get that benefits. And they also get retirement and vacation. 12,000 people here in Grover Beach, I'll bet, don't get what the politicians or you get from your job. And I don't think that's quite fair. And so that's why I want that up there, to remind you that you're sitting there for the people of Grover, and not a palace. Or the second thing was grocery store. I was in that for 37 years. Mr. Buckingham told me tonight that he'd been looking into it. And somebody asked me in the doctor's office the other day, why are you wanting another grocery store when you got a big one down? Well, I go into the pharmacy, and I have to park out in the back. I called the city attorney the other day and said, well, you know, there's not enough handicap. I let my wife off and let her walk in. I go out and park. I come back. I watch for her. Come on. That is not right. It's not. So if we had that second one, maybe we'd get some openings down there. Competition never hurt anything. And I remember 1970, Safeway built a big store out on the south side of Santa Maria. And it was on the wrong side of the street because Santa Maria on the east side doesn't do the business the west side. And I don't know why they didn't know that. But on the north side at Donovan and Broadway, they built a nice one. I got lucky and I got to open the meat department. And Williams Brothers sits over here one block doing a lot of business because Williams Brothers at that time, everybody was moving into town because of Vandenberg. And we were beating them day, week after week until we had a big strike and they moved us out because they thought that the management had a lot to do with the strike, so they lost their business. But working every store from Paso to Ventura, I've seen it work. It won't work in Rio Grande. It can't work. And one or two of them will go. But you can go right over here on 10th Street and 11th, and you can put one in there. It ties into the park. I'm not a planner, but I know how. And you can tie in there and make some revenue. You're not going to do it on motels or hotels. Out at $4.03 a gallon. And you're not going to do it with trying to get something else in it because the corn prices, the agriculture prices are tripling. When I was a kid, corn was a dollar. Today it's $7.
John, I need you to wrap up.
Okay.
Okay.
But what that's going to do is competition. Competition brings prices down and opens up the parking lot so you can get in. If I'm wrong, tell me.
Thank you, John. Is there anyone else?
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, honorable members of the council. Jeff Lee, Parks, Rec, and Beautification Commission. Just want to give you a couple updates on events coming up this summer, one of which is the Spring Garden Tour and Plant Exchange. It's currently scheduled for Sunday, June 5th, so mark your calendars for that. And we are looking for beautiful Grover Beach gardens to showcase to the community. If you or someone else you know has a great-looking garden and would like to open it up to the public for tours, please contact the Parks and Rec Department for consideration of that. It's also an opportunity to participate in a plant exchange. You can bring a plant and exchange it for something new. If you have any questions on that, contact the department at 473-4580. And then just a kind of a broad brush request is that the Parks and Rec Department is seeking sponsorship for the Sizzling Summer Concert Series for the upcoming season. It showcases every Sunday beginning Sunday, June 5th through September 25th. And it's one of our most enjoyable special events, and it brings in the community members, and you can come down and enjoy friends, socialize, eat, drink, and dance at the beautiful Ramona Garden Park. Again, any questions, 473-4580, and I'm available for any questions.
Thank you, Jeff. Any questions?
Thank you.
Great. Okay. Seeing no one come forward, I'm going to close public communications. That's actually a good one to close on. And so let's move on with the rest of our agenda this evening. We're going to move into our public hearing items, and if you're following along on the agenda, this is item number 3. This is an ordinance regulating vacation rentals. Community Development Director Buckingham.
Good evening, Mayor, members of the council. In November, the council directed staff to prepare a draft ordinance regulating vacation rentals. Staff drafted an ordinance based on the previous input provided by the Planning Commission and City Council. And we also reviewed at least a dozen other vacation rental ordinances from several other communities within the county and outside of the county. Last month, the Planning Commission held a public hearing to consider the draft ordinance. Staff recommended the Planning Commission adopt a resolution recommending approval of an ordinance that would allow vacation rentals in both commercial and residential zones. After deliberation, the Planning Commission recommended the council adopt a vacation rental ordinance that would allow vacation rentals only in commercial zones and prohibit them in residential zones. To give you some background on vacation rentals, a vacation rental is typically defined as a rental of a residential unit for a 30-day period. That coincides with a transient occupancy tax, also called TOT, which is a tax that you charge on temporary lodgings, whether that be hotels or vacation rentals, and that's up to a maximum of 30-day stay. So this ordinance doesn't address any kind of rental that's over 30 days. If you rent out something for 31 days or 2 months, this ordinance does not regulate any issues that would arise from that kind of rental. Vacation rentals are typically found in travel destinations. Usually it's an alternative to lodging, motels, hotels, and other types of overnight stay accommodations. Currently, the city has about 14 vacation rentals that periodically report transient occupancy tax. There are likely additional vacation rentals in the community. We went back and we looked, in fact, at the last 18 months of transient occupancy tax. And though there's a list of about 14 residential or units overall, it's periodic. Some appear to be, actually only a very few appear to be year-round reporting. Others will only report seasonally or here and there when they have a rental. So in reviewing the draft ordinance, we wanted to highlight some of the key components. First of all, the ordinance establishes an administrative review process in which staff issues a vacation rental permit that is subject to agreeing to abide by the permit conditions. And this is basically identical to the process we use for home occupation permits for people who desire that. The permit provides a mechanism to allow for the privilege to operate a vacation rental subject to these specific requirements or regulations. By creating that process, basically what we're establishing is a process where now you can revoke the permit if they don't follow or operate under the conditions. The draft ordinance proposes a maximum of 2 persons per bedroom plus 2 additional persons, which is consistent with a vast majority of the ordinances that we reviewed. The ordinance would require 2 on-site parking spaces be provided with 2 exceptions. The first for vacation rentals and mixed-use projects like Beach Place, where a parking reduction may be granted with the project. And second, for 1-bedroom units within commercial zones, and this really specifically applied to LeSage Mobile Home Park, where they have a number of 1-bedroom units, and they only have 1 parking space as part of those mobile homes. The ordinance would establish the requirement for a local contact person. This person is designated to respond to issue or complaints regarding the vacation rental use. The contact person's name, phone number would be conspicuously posted near the front door so that anybody in the neighborhood could have access to that. The purpose for having the local contact person is so that there is someone in close proximity to respond to complaints with the authority to take action in case of violations. In one case, we've been told there's somebody that's from out of town and a couple of hours away, and they don't have a property management company. So by basically having somebody that will live within 30 miles and be available 24 hours a day, 24/7, that becomes a local contact person. And again, the desire there is to make somebody that's responsible for issues that generally in the vicinity of Grover Beach. Also to point out, not in the ordinance, but in events of excessive noise, disorderly conduct, any illegal activity, those are always police issues. They could be violations of the vacation rental, but those are always police issues, and we would want people contacting the police department in those particular cases. In regards to violations and revocations, the draft ordinance proposes a warning for the first violation, possible fines for the second and third violations, and then a revocation hearing before the Planning Commission for a fourth violation. However, recognizing that there could be egregious violations, we did put something in there that basically gave the city the discretion that if any kind of violation arose that was a threat to public health, safety, and welfare, that we could schedule a revocation hearing in front of the Planning Commission at any time. So based on the previous input from the Commission and Council, staff believes the recommended regulations would mitigate potential neighborhood conflicts related to vacation rental units. And further, by establishing the fines and revocation process, problematic units could be brought into compliance or have ultimately their permits revoked. Finally, I just wanted to note in the Planning Commission, in their discussion, though they ended up making the recommendation for commercial only, they did talk about several other options for strengthening regulations. These included increasing the violation period from 12 months to 24 months, so you'd have a longer period of time to accrue those violations. And they also consider decreasing the number of violations. Instead of getting to four before a revocation, you could make it three. So there's several alternatives there. They also discussed posting conditions of the vacation rental. So rather than just have the contact information, you could put the maximum number of guests that were staying at that time or maximum number of parking spaces. And lastly, they added that the property be kept in a neat and clean condition and trash cans be brought in after pickup days. So those were all the things that they discussed, but they did not ultimately incorporate into the motion. The Planning Commission did recommend approval of the ordinance on a 3-2 vote. So as a result of, in conclusion then, staff has recommended the council receive public testimony tonight and adopt the ordinance as recommended by the Planning Commission with vacation rentals only in commercial zones. However, alternatively, the council could consider amending that ordinance and regulating vacation rentals to allow them in commercial and residential zones. Lastly, there was one additional piece of correspondence that we received tonight that you were given. And that concludes staff's report. Be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Bruce. Any questions of staff? Mm-hmm. Councilmember Bright?
Oh, you want to go?
No.
Okay. Do you have any idea just approximately what kind of income to the city currently the TOT brings to us?
In fiscal year, we received $5,715.10.
$5,700 and change?
Yeah.
And that's for the 14 that we know about?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Councilmember Peterson.
I had a few questions. You mentioned that there were 14, and we have heard that about one that has caused folks to come in and complain. I'm wondering if there have been complaints on the other 13?
I think there's really two primarily that we've had problems with.
And they were. I thought one of them was not vacation rental. I thought it was a long-term rental.
Well, it's interesting. The one on North 14th Street, for instance, this year they haven't. The city hasn't collected any transient occupancy tax. But that, you know.
Don't know.
We don't know if that means they just haven't been providing it to the city, or they just have not been renting them out to anybody for less than 30 days.
I had recalled.
Please, you'll have an opportunity.
I had recalled from the previous time we discussed this that the property manager said that they were long-term rentals. They weren't vacation rentals.
And again, that's why the distinction of this ordinance is regulating would regulate 30 days or less. It does not regulate anything longer than that, which we would consider a long-term rental.
So out of 14, we have one that's definitely an issue, one that is an issue, but we're not sure if it's a vacation rental.
That's staff's understanding from the input we've heard at other meetings, yes.
Okay. And I noticed that Commissioner LaFerriere had asked if the owners of the property rentals had been noticed or invited to the meeting, to the Planning Commission meeting. Have they been invited tonight?
The reality is I was in error. We had notified them for the Planning Commission, and we did again notify them tonight.
Thank you. And let's see. Couple other questions. There were a couple of things that looked to me that they were a little bit difficult to figure out. There was a room, you know, there was a room size required for bedrooms, but it referred back to building codes. Is that a standard room size, or does it vary depending on the zoning?
No, it's a building code requirement, and it's fairly small, believe it or not, but it was typical of other ordinances that at least established some kind of minimum, so you couldn't turn a closet into a bedroom.
Okay. All righty. And which, if it were limited to commercial zones, which commercial zones then would allow vacation rentals?
Any commercial zone that allows residential uses, which with our mixed use ordinances, most of our commercial zones do allow that. It would also apply to your non-conforming single family homes or other residential uses within commercial zones. And there are a few, for instance, you know, on 3rd Street between Grand and Rockaway, there are some single family homes that in a commercial zone. And then also LaSage Mobile Home Park is technically in a commercial zone. So all of the mobile homes in that park would be eligible as being in a commercial zone.
So if we decided that it was only to be in commercial zones, how many of those 14 would be out of business?
Seven.
Based on the numbers we have, about half. It's interesting when you look at the numbers right now, it would seem a little bit skewed because certainly the majority of the city is zoned residential. So today that may only be 50-50, but my assumption would be that over time you would have more in residential neighborhoods.
Okay, thank you.
Any questions?
Yes, I have a question. When you talk about the commercial zone areas, are you talking about also areas that are like zone CN? And what about the visitor area?
Yeah. I think with the exception maybe of office professional, all of our commercial zones allow some type of residential use. Now, mind you, that's normally or exclusively right now as a mixed-use development. So something only like a Beach Place project that has commercial on the ground floor and residential upstairs. That's the, at least in a commercial zone like CN, for instance, that would be the case. Now, again, you may find a legal nonconforming single-family home in any commercial zone, and they would be allowed to operate if we limited only to commercial zones.
All right, thank you.
So Bruce, this 30-day period, is this limited to one tenant? So in the definitions you set for over a 30-day period, so could someone conceivably rent 30 days to one person and then the next month rent to someone different? Is that a rolling 30 days or?
It's per occupant. So if someone stays for 7 days, then that's their time limit. And someone comes and stays for 30 days, then that's another period of time. And then someone comes and stays for a weekend. Those are, it's not a conglomeration of.
Okay.
It's not a total 30 days.
So then I want to ask this question again. I want to ask it very pointedly because I think someone asked the question, if we only allowed them in commercial zones, what would happen to the existing units or how many would be affected? I think this is maybe one that you and the city attorney can try and tackle. If we did limit vacation rentals to commercial zones only, how would this affect the existing rentals and how would we deal with that situation? Because I would assume that they would no longer be allowed. So what would?
And I also,
if anybody was operating legally or illegally, I would I'll defer to the city attorney. What was my other point? There have been cities that have dealt with this, and I know of at least one example where they were clearly legalized. They determined that they didn't want them in residential zones anymore, and they basically went through an amortization process where they allowed them to operate for 5 more years, and then they were phased out. So there are other approaches, but I'll defer to Mr. Kazanowicz now.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, Council members. I think basically you would have an option. The use is not legalized in the city. It is not regulated. And you could certainly establish a mandate to that they would be phased out because they are not permitted in residential zones. You could take the approach, as outlined by Mr. Buckingham, that they have a year, two, three, whatever, to amortize themselves out. Or you could establish that they are a legal nonconforming use, assuming that at the time of the effective date of the ordinance, they meet some type of criteria, and they simply would fall under the same regulations that that the ordinance provides for the commercial zones. So those would be your options. That is one of the things that once we went into the discussion of this at any depth, Mr. Buckingham and I were going to surface for you to consider and discuss, whether it's now or whether it's as a separate item during the second reading, again depending on how the council treated the item that's before you today.
Okay, and because the reason I asked that question is I'm not sure if it came up, but I know there are several. Obviously, we have a lot of interested folks in the audience today that would say if the council followed in line with what the commission is recommended in and not allowing any vacation rentals in residential areas, they know there are a couple existing. How would that affect them? So that's why I'm asking that question. Mayor Pro Tem?
Yeah. Could we not grandfather them in?
No.
You certainly have that option.
That was one of the options he had laid
out. That's what I thought. Okay. I want to make another thing.
Okay. I'm going to hold off on the rest of my question because I know there's...
Beach over 30 years ago. I've always intended to retire here and have done so and gotten up in age and have moved into my brother's house now to be taken care of. But in doing so, we've always anticipated relying on the income for vacation rental from that property. This decision you're making is going to affect their ability to pay for medical expenses and such. So this does affect our family. I'm not sure. It seems to me that governments tend to do the same thing where they'll, or in any situation where we take a one problem and exasperate it with another by swinging a pendulum from one end of the spectrum to the other. Here we have no regulations at all governing vacation rentals, and now we want to pretty much eliminate it from all R1 zoned areas. Is that correct? I think that's correct.
Well, that's a planning commission recommendation. The board has not made a decision. So okay. Why don't you finish with your comments?
So I'm kind of baffled in that I've grown up here, and I'm kind of baffled that we've taken our name and changed it to accommodate tourism from Grover City to Grover Beach, but yet we're now going to eliminate some of that tourism aspect. That does concern me. That's going to, I do believe, affect Grover Beach businesses from that income, as well as other aspects of that. I don't see a lot of good housing for vacation rentals in our area. We have very few. I don't mind regulation. What I do mind is one complaint on one house dictating what everybody else is going to do. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Williams. Is there anyone else that would like to address the item before the council this evening? Please come forward, state your name and city of residence for the record.
Yes, sir. My name is Tom Carter. I think you've heard quite a bit from me, but I'm going to add a little bit more. And to answer this gentleman here, he says that I don't know if you...
Tom, why don't you address your comments to us? And
what I would like to see the council do is go with what the... What I would like to see it out of all residentials. And due to the fact that I'm a homeowner there, I've moved in, I bought a house. Now, I should have known that this person right next to me is going to have people there every week, weekend. Not 30 days, but weekends. And, you know, that's not fair to a person that has spent $400,000 for a house and have to live next door to somebody that does nothing, that does not care. They tear up everything and then they go home. They go back to the valley. Now, if that's a vacation rental, I don't think that should be, it should not be allowed. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. I don't know if any of you people have even any idea of what's going on with these vacation rentals. There is no rules. And you said there's how many? 14? It's going to take half of them. It would probably hurt. You said how much were you going to make? $5,000? I'll give you $5,000 if you stop the damn thing. Thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like to address the council on this item?
Tricia Witt, 341 North 14th Street, and you have heard my story, as the Planning Commission did. There are 200 people who are not here tonight that signed a petition. pleading that vacation rentals be prohibited from R1, R2, and R3 zones. Those people were well aware of what they were signing. It's not just one rental complaint. The vacation rental across the street from me was bought by a lady in Tulare. I took care of her lawn for about a year. It was used for the family. And she made that very clear when she bought it, that it would be a weekend home for she and her family. At no time did she ever indicate, that it would be a vacation rental. Since that time, we are not looking at just a weekend here or there. We are looking at 30 days where people roll in and out from one to another, where people, again, as you have heard from me, are falling down drunk. Unless you have lived this, unless you have to get up between 3 and 4:30 a.m., which there are trying to send a message, as those of us that have taken the time to come here and plead with you to please protect our residential areas. Thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like to address the council on this item?
Hi, Karen Rennick, 333 North 14th Street. What I've observed is, when I purchased, going on 3 years, that wasn't the case across the street so much. Since then, what I've observed is it would be really nice if everyone followed the rules. They don't. 6, 8, 10 cars all over the place. Just a lot of hustle and bustle and activity. Okay, well, I could live with that. But they do party. They're out in front partying. They're inebriated. So if you grumble, then they go to the backyard. That doesn't really help. I mean, there are times with the people that go there, I feel like I'm living across the street from Animal House. And that's about how bad it is. They're not there to be respectable. They're going to get the rent, and they're going to get 4 or 5 families, and that's what they do to save on the rent. I don't think that's any big surprise to any of you. And they had tents in the backyard. So I chose Grover because I really love Grover. It's relaxed, it's funky, it's cute, it's very up and coming. I am all for promoting Grover Beach, but I just don't think that was not my expectation, and I don't think it's appropriate in residential areas. That's not something you expect to see in a residential area. If I'm at a timeshare, these same people by the pool, no problem. In my neighborhood, kids walking by, I don't think it's appropriate. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else?
Hello. My name is Janine Carter. I live at 571 Newport Avenue in Grover Beach. I've been here before. In fact, we started this whole process back in 2008 when I spoke to Cassandra. From the last meeting, it felt really good to be validated of the problems that we as homeowners stepped into when we bought a home next to a vacation rental and didn't know it. There's nothing more to say except that it's a real pain, I'm telling you. I agree with the Planning Commissioner Robertson when she stated her eyes were opened after hearing our public testimony at that Planning Commission. I'm sure you've all read the minutes from the meeting. I was also in there. Also, Vice Chair Evans felt the same way. And I hope the council's eyes are opened to the plight of us who are at the mercy of tenants that are in vacation rentals, of which I live next to at 555. The person that owns that home has not declared that it's a vacation rental. If she's pinned to the wall about it, she'll probably pay what she needs to pay.
but she's going to continue doing what she's doing. And I can almost guarantee that. This person is not going to retire for quite some time. I, however, am retired. And I know this young man that got up and spoke that it's a hardship for his relatives that have a vacation rental because that it pays their medical bills. Well, I'm a retired person, and I need my rest. I'm a cancer survivor, and having this vacation rental next to me is shortening my lifespan. Every time a new person comes in there, I'm telling you, my stress level goes up, my blood pressure goes up. I was thinking how nice it would be to start a neighborhood watch, a safe neighborhood watch in our area, right in our little neighborhood. But I can't do that because the person that lives right next to me doesn't live there. I don't know who that person will be from day to day. I can't go next door and say, hey, how would you like to be a part of our safe neighborhood? How would you like to keep an eye on my house and I'll keep an eye on yours? I can't do that because I don't know who it's going to be, and they don't care. They really don't care. All they want to do is come to Grover Beach and go down to the beach and take their little vehicles and go along the beach where they can and come back, drink beer, fall down, whatever they're going to do. Some of them have been nice. I'm not putting down every single person. There have been a couple of nice people. But we've lived there 4 years now, and there hasn't been a whole lot of nice. You have a dog, a barking dog, because sometimes they bring their pets. You know, we never know what we're going to expect. We can't expect anything. So we pay our taxes. We are an asset to our community. I would like for our neighborhood to be an asset to Grover Beach as a community. So no R1, R2, R3. Put it to the commercial zones, period.
Okay. Is there anyone else?
Honorable Mayor, members of council, my name is Tony Spinelli. I own Beach Bum Holiday Rentals and Management. Let me preface my comments by saying that anything that this council, the decision you arrive at tonight, I stand behind wholeheartedly. I will not jeopardize my broker's license for anybody. But with that being said, I'm going to play devil's advocate here, and I wholeheartedly understand the concern with these neighbors here. And what's really a shame is that you have absentee owners causing these issues. You have owners that live outside the neighborhood that take a reservation for their house, and then they send the keys off to the potential guest and out of sight, out of mind. I've seen some issues in Pismo Beach where absentee owners literally have squandered the money and left their condo in shambles for the next guest. The one thing I'd like to say is that vacation rentals is less than 30 days. So with that being said, you can rent a vacation rental for 30 days and not have to pay TOT. Mm-hmm. Also, you got to keep it simple if you're going to put an ordinance together. Number one, and I'm not trying to promote my business. I'm just saying when you have a responsible party taking care of the helm, you don't have any of these issues. We have in excess of 80 units. In my 8 years, going on 9 years in this business, I've had one complaint. In our three-page contract, the people were escorted out of the property and they lost all their money. So with that, you have a major deposit on hand. People aren't going to wreck your house, and they're not going to cause havoc. As far as people trying to do vacation rentals on their own that abide by the rules, we don't have any complaints. You'll get owners out there that won't get a complaint, but they won't be paying you TOT either. So you have that issue to think about. If you're going to do vacation rentals, as they do in the county, we those of us that are in vacation rental business, we have to get a permit that's issued by the county, and which there is a number on that permit, and we pay the TOT according to all the vacation rentals we have and according to the permit number. Pismo Beach, if you're in the vacation rental business, it blankets all your vacation rentals. But there again, I'd hate to see you adopt something that you have no control of. And what you're trying to do here is you're trying to institute rules and regulations for those of us that are in the business, as well as those that are trying to be in the business. So with that being said, I wish you all the luck. And whatever your decision is, good luck.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Nick Sartucci, and I represent Pismo Coast Management. And first of all, I'd like to, we're the culprits that have 14th Street House that you're hearing all the complaints about. We have had that house about 3 years, and after the first year, because of the complaints and the problems we had, we only rent it out monthly now. But we're still getting complaints. The people that rent it are usually Diablo workers or people that come in to work here for a short period of time. They're older men. I mean, older, say, 50s. They're not teenagers. You're going to get all kinds. You could have your neighbor could be that way, and it's not just vacation renters or out of town people. What you're doing is a good thing. You need to have all these rules and regulations to get these places licensed, but it's not going to stop the owners from doing it. And they're the ones, it's the people here that have problems that you're not, you're, it'd be, there really isn't that many rooms for rent here in Grover Beach. So I feel that would not be a good thing to restrict it. But by making these rules and regulations, it should help some, but you're still going to have problems with out-of-town owners who rent their units and don't really care what happens. I guess that's it. 14th Street really shouldn't be a problem anymore, other than we still get calls, but you don't get perfect people. I probably could say that I'm not a perfect neighbor, but that's not all the time. Anyway, that's all I've got to say.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Tucci. Okay, no. If I open it up to you, I have to let everyone speak. So, okay. Okay, thank you. So let's close this to the public and bring it back to the council, and let's have some discussion and see where this goes and if we need to do something different. So who would like to start this discussion? Councilmember Peterson, why don't I? You had a lot of questions earlier. I'm sure you have some.
Yeah, I my heart goes out to folks who have neighbors who are difficult, and I know how much that impacts people's lives and people who move here with expectations of a certain things being a certain way, and then they get bad neighbors. I don't know that we can ever legislate for bad neighbors. I know that initially when we started talking about all of this, we weren't even sure that there was any reason to need to do it. And obviously, we certainly need to lay down some ground rules. I do have a concern. At the minimum, we need to lay down ground rules. I really do have a concern about enforcement. It's complaint-driven, and I understand that we don't have the manpower, but I think that the Planning Commission was right. We maybe need to put a few more teeth in it. I think it's definitely certainly got more teeth than we've had to start with. I'd like to see us, let's not make people, you know, rifle through building codes to figure out where they are. Let's tell them what the room size is, maybe put some more teeth in some of those. I certainly don't think it's appropriate to put 12 out, or, well, maybe 6 or 5 or 6 out of business because one is a bad neighbor. And I also have some concern. I know the Planning Commission, it was a close vote. It was a 3-2 vote to restrict it to commercial. And but there were two commissioners who weren't there. So I'm not convinced that we heard from the whole Planning Commission. And I have some concerns, too, about I think it should. I think there are suggestions 12 to 24 months. 24 months is better, and maybe three violations instead of four. I think posting the maximum number of guests and parking is helpful. It reinforces the rules, and I guess I would ask if we do put something in place that that the city and the police and the volunteer police be diligent in following up on that for the sake of the neighbors. So that's where I am right now.
Okay. Councilman Monar.
There were some interesting thoughts from the gentleman with the management company, the first one who spoke. Was that
Mr. Spinelli?
Spinelli, yes. Thank you. I don't know if it's possible to put in the ordinance that if you have a vacation rental that you would be required to go through a management company, because that would help to solve a lot of problems.
Good point.
And then there would be somebody who you could contact at any time and make sure that appropriate response is done. I disagree with Debbie. I really think that it needs to be out of the residential neighborhood. I think that we have to remember that Grover Beach is not Pismo Beach. Grover Beach is like it's a place where people come to live. It's a residential area. We hope that our visitors will come and will use our amenities, our facilities, will come to our restaurants. But since we have such a large residential population, I think we need to honor that. I came here because I like living in this community. I did not choose to live in Pismo, which is a vacation area. I am also a person, my family uses VRBO.com whenever we travel, and we have stayed in places in California, and we have stayed in other states, and they are always out of the main residential increase in property values. And thus you will have a decrease in property taxes, which is one of the mainstays of this community. So I really think that we have to consider some of these important issues. If vacation rentals are, you know, we do or put them in an ordinance, then we really should use a management company. And also the idea of less than 30 days, I think I actually agree with that. Not 30 days or less, but less than 30 days is what it should be in the ordinance. I would like to see it 12 months, not 24, and that there be three violations. And that it also should be posted. You know, the occupancy, the number of people that are allowed to be there, the issue of noise. When you go camping, most campsites require you to be quiet by 9 or 10 o'clock. That should be part of it also. People who come to visit, it's good for them, it's good for us, but they need to have respect for where they go. And I think that is something else that we need to consider. Who is more important here? Our residents who are here year-round, who pay the taxes, who go to the grocery store, who use our restaurants, or the person who comes and visits and just doesn't care. They're here for a good time. Thank you.
Mayor Pro Tem Nichols.
I think we might consider vacation rentals in the R3 zone. I think that might solve some of our problems. I think we also should consider grandfathering in those vacation rentals that are in existence today. I do think we need the ordinance. I think there's a few items in the ordinance that we need to talk about as far as corrections go in the ordinance itself, some of the wording in it. But I'll save that until we decide what we're going to do.
Councilmember Bright.
Thank you. Well, I am a firm believer in personal property rights. You own a home, you should be able to do what you want with your home. However, I don't believe that you have the right to disturb or decrease the value of your neighbor's property. I'm really torn here. A couple of things is public service costs. I mean, for the minimal amount of revenue that is generated by these vacation rentals, what does it cost us in our public service time and effort and energy, not to mention the aggravation and time spent by the residents having to register their complaints over and over and over again? I don't believe that including either, I believe that we're going to restrict it from all residential areas. You have an R3, you've got R2 right next to it, or R1 right behind it. There is no way to there's no buffer there, truly. I happen to live in an R3 neighborhood, so I know that. There's R2 right there, there's R1 right around the corner. So I think that needs to be separate, completely separate. But then again, we have people that may live near a commercial area. However, they are in a commercial area, so you know that's what you're getting. I had another point. I have some other questions, though, once we get to that point about where this ordinance is going to go. As far as professional management, I do believe that was somewhat addressed in the ordinance, whereby you had to have a local contact, but I think truly a local responsible contact, whether it's a management company or whatever. I also believe that should there be violations, they need to be dealt with, they need to be addressed, and I'd like to know how that will happen. We've had testimony from residents whereby they say they've called and called and called, and nothing has happened. So they continue to live in this constant state of turmoil, which I believe is not something that we want for our residents, or that I want anyway. And so I believe that those are really my comments in a nutshell. But I have a couple of questions when we're there, please.
Would you prefer to ask your questions now, or you want to wait?
Whatever.
Why don't you ask your questions?
Okay. So if we were to restrict this type of rental to only commercial areas, how is that going to be? How will we enforce that? If
so, there was vacation rental Grover Beach, and they had no permit number, we would basically at that point know that they were in violation. Or if they had a permit number, we would check to make sure it was that. So that was a mechanism we came up for, at least when someone came in and complained, my neighbor is renting it out and here's the proof, we could immediately determine then, oh, it's in a residential zone, we would send you a violation in that case. You need to stop immediately or we'll fine you. If it's in a commercial zone and you didn't have a permit, we'd send them a letter and say you need to come in and get a permit immediately or we'll cite you. So,
okay, so let's say after 12 or 24 months they've had 4 citations, they haven't done what they need to do, then what happens?
Okay, so this is someone that then could legally operate in a commercial zone in your example.
No, I'm talking about in a residential area. My concern is that we'll have people that continue to operate. Mm-hmm. And then how do you regulate that?
I'm going to defer to Mr. Kozanowicz.
Thank you. Same way we regulate or enforce any other code enforcement matters. If administrative citations aren't sufficient and the use continues or the violation continues, ultimately we can bring injunctive relief and an action in court to stop it.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So then I have some comments, so I'll make those and we'll see where we're heading. Let me just say that, yes, vacation rentals need to be regulated. And from where I sit, this is about quality of neighborhoods. This is not about raising revenue. Mm-hmm. That said, I've been on this council for many years, and anyone who knows me knows that I try to do everything in a fair manner, We know that we have to look at all everyone's concerns and considerations, and I agree with 100% what Councilmember Bright said, talking about property owner rights and where's that balance. So let me just go down this list, and Ms. Witt was here, and she said west of Grand. I'm assuming she meant west of 4th when she was talking about vacation rentals. Absolutely. So that was a very good comment that actually got me to thinking that, you know, maybe in some limited fashion, rather than just saying not in any residential areas, we need to be very strategic about where we're looking for vacation rentals. And so, you know, maybe that's something that we should consider. I also know that at the Planning Commission that Mr. Hardy and others had talked about possibly the creation of a new zone. Yes, I agree, a use permit. And yes, I would think, and I agree with Councilmember Monar, that it'd be 12 months and it'd be 3 violations and that the clock does not start ticking with the new year, that we maintain some history on that property if we need to move in that direction. Business tax certificates, I know the commission raised that. I would say we definitely will want to go that route. And I know that there was the community development director threw out a very low number, but I think that's something that the council would have to discuss what that fee would look like. As far as responsible parties, I think Mr. Benelli brought up a great point about having a management company. I think the problem is we can't legally require someone to hire a management company. I think that's kind of becomes the problem with that. City Attorney, is that a correct statement or?
I think we could look at some form of local control connected to that, if that is the direction over and beyond what we've inserted in the current draft ordinance.
Okay.
So there may be some balance that can be reached if that is the desire of the council, and we can return with a more detailed proposal.
Okay. So then I would say that we would want annual review, a notification to adjacent property owners. And I know the Mayor Pro Tem talked about grandfathering folks in. I'm not a big fan of that in this particular case. So I think if we are going to go down that road, maybe we need to talk about if they're legal nonconforming uses and how they would not be allowed to expand and maybe ultimately phased out. And then enforcement, you know, I know everyone's talked about don't adopt an ordinance you can't enforce, and I think that's all ordinances, to tell you the truth. I think all code enforcement is done on a complaint basis unless there is a direction from this council and there is a desire from the folks in the community who said, hey, we want code enforcement and we want it to be proactive rather than reactive, and that, and we need to discuss what does that mean financially. But I don't want to just rule something out with the excuse or the thought that, hey, we can't enforce it, so let's not try. You know, I'm not that type of person. So I do want to conclude on a couple of things. I think, Karen, you touched on this, and it's about expectations. So if we go down this road with a provide some regulation, not over-regulation, but I want everyone to understand that, you know, if we go down this road, there's still going to be some bad actors out there, and we have to figure out how to address them as well. And then finally, Commissioner Ferrier had asked a question about a pilot program, and I would say if we are going to go down this road, let's review this in about a year. Let's see how effective we have been. Let's see if there are some things we can do to improve it. And if, you know, and I think that's just something we should do with all of our regulations. But for now, I think I'm okay with moving toward regulating vacation rentals, not necessarily saying expressly not prohibited in residential. Yeah, we're going to protect R1 and R2, but I think R3, if we look at it in some limited fashion, it may help. So those are my thoughts. Mayor Pro Tem.
Could we do this with a vacation area overlay?
Mr. Buckingham.
I mean, sure, we can create any kind of designated area that vacation rentals would be allowed in.
One of the reasons I'm thinking that I can see some of the areas close to the beach that might be residential, but also might be conducive to vacation rentals. But if you're talking about up on 14th Street, that doesn't really set well with me as far as including an area like that in a vacation rental. Something closer to the beach, regardless of what the current zoning is. If we did it with an overlay, we might be able to select the areas where we would like to see vacation rentals available to help the community.
Very good comments and very good question.
Go ahead.
Okay, hold on. Let's go, Councilmember Bright, and then we'll come back to you. Okay.
One thing though that I had meant to mention the pilot program as well, but then also there had been a discussion about a sunset clause, which I think maybe we might want to consider as well. And then if we're going to do an overlay, which I think could be an excellent tool, then, of course, we need to know where that is so all the neighbors could be part of that and all. But
and that way we would be having, I would think, a happy compromise in that we would allow it in that particular residential area, but our majority of our residential area would be left intact and be protected from vacation rentals and the problems that they cause. And I really do, I know it would be maybe difficult to force people, but I really think management company is a really good idea because that would take care of a lot of problems and have people somewhere to turn to. And that also, if you do an overlay, that I don't know if when you sell a house, if you have to disclose certain things. I know we disclose if you're in a flood zone, if you we have to disclose Diablo. But it really needs to maybe be in the ordinance that you would have to disclose that you are selling a home next to a vacation rental, even if it is in the overlay section. Because I certainly wouldn't buy one.
Okay.
I wanted to clarify the 12 and 24 month thing and make sure we're all on the same page with that. When I said a 24 month period, I wanted to allow for any three complaints within 24 months could write it off. So if we shorten that to three within any rolling 12, I think that's even tighter. I think we should keep it really tight. So I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Just so we're all on the same page.
Okay, very good. So we've had quite a bit of discussion and great input from the community. City Attorney, did you have a comment or clarification? You know, you don't move around me. I'm just like an auction. If you move, you bought it.
Just as a point of clarification, I think on the 12 versus 24 month period, the 24-month period is more restrictive than the 12-month period.
Right.
Just wanted to...
How so?
Because you're reaching further back to count the violations.
Oh, you're talking about reaching back, not rolling forward.
Ultimately, it would be within a 24... but 3 years from now, you could look back 2 years and see if somebody had the fourth violation would trigger the... Or the third violation.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. But if you may.
Quality of neighborhoods should be the first priority. Mm-hmm. I believe that when it comes to whether it is we are regulating vacation rentals only in commercial versus residential, I'm hearing a little bit of someone, I think on one end, we're saying, someone saying not. In any residential area, and then others were saying maybe in residential areas, in R3 in particular, in certain locations. So I'm going to try and poll everyone on this. So who up here is of the mind that we, I guess the commission's recommendation was that they be only allowed in commercial zones, correct?
Correct.
So let's see if there's consensus. Is that the consensus of the council?
Okay. I actually am in agreement with commercial only, but if this ordinance isn't going to go through because of that, if I mean, I would vote yes right now on commercial only. But if it's in jeopardy because some of you think that we should add some residential, then I'm only for like west of 4th and the commercial area. But I would not agree with R3 at all.
That's not west of 4th Street.
What is? Correct. Right.
R3 that's not west of 4th Street.
You're not in agreement if it's R3 that's...
No, you just misunderstood. Okay.
You're saying...
saying commercial
only. Because there's some R3 that is actually probably west of 4th Street. Is that...
No, no, no. What I'm saying is I agree with commercial only.
I understand.
But if this ordinance is not going to go through because nobody else agrees with commercial only, then I figure the only compromise will be property west of 4th or maybe 2nd, but not in the majority of the residential area. Okay?
Okay. So we're not going to debate this. We're trying to give staff some direction, because if we were going to take an action, someone would step up and make a motion, and that is well within anyone up here's right to do so. If you are in agreement with what the Planning Commission is recommending, make a motion. We'll see if you have support. That's one way to do it, or we can try and give staff some direction. Mayor Pro Tem.
Yeah, I think... It sounded to me like we almost had consensus that to bring this back with an overlay.
Back with a different ordinance, and it would be a first reading again, and then I would have to open this back up to the public, which is fine.
All right. Then why don't we take a vote on the ordinance?
May I say something?
Yes. Yes. Okay.
My concern is we've had comments where... you know, you wouldn't want to live next to it, but let's put it somewhere else. So that, to me, is a concern. I think that we need to be very definitive about what we're talking about. If in fact, we're going to move out of the residential, allow some residential, I have a real problem with that. Either I think we need to stay residential or commercial. How can we say that you're going to live next to one, but you're not? I have a real moral dilemma with that. So I think if we were to...
Okay.
Okay, there you go.
Well, there is a Planning Commission recommendation that has been presented.
Okay.
There have been lots of comments here, so if someone would like to basically craft the motion...
I'll give it
one way or the other, we'll see if there is support to move forward.
Okay. I'm going to give it a go, although there's so many other asides to this, but I would make a motion, if I can find where we are. We're just considering public testimony, conduct the first reading, and schedule. Okay, all right, I'm there, I think. Sorry. I'm not there. Okay, now I'm there. Excuse me, all. Okay, that we follow the Planning Commission recommendation to regulate vacation rentals and allow them in commercial districts only, and schedule the second reading for adoption at the next City Council meeting.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Okay, any other discussion on the motion?
Do we want to discuss? I have a question on paragraph 3999.17 under permit conditions, item 6, the speak with reference to this.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're in Exhibit A?
Yes, it's the ordinance itself, attachment 1.
Okay, exhibit though.
Page 3, middle of the page.
I must be in the wrong spot then. I'm looking at exhibit A. You're looking at attachment 1?
Correct.
attachment two? Here's attachment
the ordinance.
One. Okay. And what is the number, please?
Six.
Maybe you should change it to complaint-driven violation.
Hold on. There's a motion on the floor. Did you ask a question? Let me see if I can get you an answer, and then we're going to have some more discussion and then vote.
Okay.
So.
The intent of the language is we receive a phone call, and we're told that there's, you know, more people than should be allowed there. Okay. So we go out there. There's only supposed to be six people, and there's 10. So we would then contact, if this was staff, we would contact the property management company or local contact person. And, you know, their job would be to come out and to remedy that problem, immediately get the people who were not allowed to be there out of there. And so, therefore, that would be an example of a documented violation in which we would then be telling them, you have a limited time to resolve that. You know, if we give it 24 hours, then what's the teeth in allowing a long period of time to seek a remedy?
Okay, I'm thinking if we get a police department gets a call at 1 o'clock in the morning and they go out there and tell the people to stop, they get there within 2 hours and they stop. Is that a documented violation? If they don't get there for 2.5 hours, is that right. A documented violation?
Well, if there are different types of violations. If this was clearly just a noise violation, the police department would go out there with their noise meters. They would determine the issue existed, and if it did, they would just cite them for a violation of the noise ordinance right there, and then that would become documented, and they would get compliance in that particular situation.
Okay. I just need clarification on that.
Okay. Debbie?
If we're talking about moral dilemmas, I still feel that we've got a situation where one bad apple has spoiled the whole bunch, and I don't feel comfortable voting for something because we have one bad example, or maybe two. I don't think, and I don't know that even for the folks who are struggling with that situation, if we grant.
Like I said, residential and neighborhoods are, the quality of those neighborhoods is important, but I do believe that we can make a distinction between R3, and that is between 4th and Highway 1 and R3 that faces commercial. And then the fact is the commission's recommendation, they talked about increasing violation period from 12 to 24 months. They talked about posting conditions, and they talked about keeping the property neat and clean, but that never made it into the ordinance. So this motion doesn't include those 3 points as well. So
no, it doesn't. And there's another point I'd like to include as well. So maybe
sure.
I should just withdraw that motion.
Okay.
I really do believe that there is merit to having good vacation rental properties. Mm-hmm. There was somewhere in this where possibly if you were be able to petition your neighbors and they said, sure, you're a good neighbor. Maybe the people on Front Street, their neighbors have never had a problem with them. Why should we not allow that? I haven't really gone very far with that, but that's kind of my thinking there as well. So I'm torn. I just tried to get this thing happening.
I hear
get
you.
It rolling. And, so.
So are you? Is your motion on the floor, or are you moving to withdraw your motion?
Well, I guess we'll... Well, we've got a motion in a second. We might as well just let that go where it's going, and then I'll give it over to someone else.
Okay. So, Donna, if you're ready, roll call.
Yes.
Councilman Rivermark?
Yes.
Councilmember Peterson?
No.
Mayor Pro Tem Nicholas?
No.
And Mayor Scholes?
No. Okay, someone else want to try and make a motion on this? Or
not me.
And there's nothing wrong with continuing this to a date certain or uncertain and giving staff direction. So I think we've had a lot of really good discussion here, and I think staff's been taking notes, so I think we're okay doing that as well. So
then I'm going to make a motion that we continue this item to, I guess maybe you should check with the Planning Commission, Planning Director, and find out what time he can bring it back. That appropriate?
Okay.
I would recommend bringing it back to the first meeting in May.
Environmental, if we're doing an overlay.
Well, it would be helpful.
And I have a request.
Hold on.
Mr. Buckingham, do you agree or...
Well, if I can add, I think I hear consensus on a lot of the regulatory aspects of this, changing the 12 to 24 months. I think we have a good handle on those or close to it. The city attorney is mentioning the area is kind of the dilemma and how would we go about noticing this. It could have an impact on how we notice it if we're not sure of the area. If you say commercial only, then that makes it easy. But if there are some other options you want to see about overlays, we'd have to bring back several maps with different options.
Okay. So then I think the Mayor Pro Tem was trying to form a motion, and he never finished his motion. So in that motion, you were talking about continuing it, and is there some direction that you wanted to provide in that motion?
Yes. I personally would like to request the staff bring back an overlay, and I think we want to try and include those areas that are reasonably close to the beach area, which is generally what would be considered areas where vacation rentals would be desirable.
So, okay, hold on. City Manager.
With that, I would just request that we be a little bit more specific in terms of the direction. In other words, if you would like that overlay to be west of 4th, that kind of specificity would be appreciated.
And that's where I was going. So is that your intent, that it be
west? That's fine. That's fine. I don't have an objection to that. Do we want to consider areas adjacent to Grand Avenue up to 6th or 7th or 8th, or do we leave it at 4th Street?
It's your motion.
All right, let's leave it at 4th Street, west of 4th Street.
Okay, so motion is to continue this to a date uncertain and to direct staff to come back with an overlay looking at those areas between or west of 4th Street.
Correct.
Did you want to ask them to look at how we handle the grandfathering situation?
No.
If we have consensus of the council on that, then... Just
make your motion. So, okay, west of 4th, and then looking at...
Include in the motion that we include a grandfather clause for those...
Allowed to exist and continue operating as long as they're in compliance with whatever regulations are in place, and that if the use is abandoned, if under our code, for a period longer than 1 year, then it ceases to exist.
And they are not allowed to expand or intensify
without
use, correct?
Use permit.
Okay.
If I can just chime in, I mean, we would be looking at transient occupancy taxes to determine whether they were operating then?
Yes.
Okay, hold on. Yes. Everyone, hold on. We have no motion and nothing approved. He's trying to give direction, and if he's got support for his direction, we will come back and you will provide information. We will ask more questions. The public will have an opportunity to ask further questions and make additional comments. So I don't want to sit here being stuck in the details and in the minutia. So make your motion. See if you have support. If not, then we'll have to make another motion. So,
okay, motion is that we continue this item to a date uncertain, and that we ask staff to bring back an overlay that will cover the area west of 4th Street for residential vacation rental, and also that they include a grandfather clause for those include a grandfather clause in this ordinance.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. Any additional discussion on the motion?
I would like to clarify grandfather clause, because earlier it was mentioned that if there is one that is existing, and if they are already declaring themselves as a vacation rental and they have been paying the TOT, that there be a where we talked about it would phase out over a number of years. I do not think that this should include any vacation rental that has already been operating without paying the TOT, which seems to be the case on some of the problems here.
Okay, comment noted. City Attorney.
I think that a grandfather clause does not contemplate an amortization or a phase out.
What about the fact if somebody's already operating now without a TOT, would they even be considered as part of that?
No. From my standpoint, the motion simply means that a grandfather clause would be included. I think staff would need to determine what the measure.
But no, but yes. I mean, well, it does not make logical sense to me.
Okay. Comment duly noted. I do have some discussion on the motion. You were silent on the issue of the regulation and more specifically the three clauses that the Planning Commission discussed but never included in their ordinance. Was that your intent to have those be looked at as well?
I think it would be a good opportunity to clarify that, yes.
And that was to increase the violation period from 12 to 24 months?
Correct.
And then to post conditions on the vacation rental, such as maximum number of guests and vehicles, and to require the property be kept in a neat, clean condition.
Yes.
Okay. And is the second?
Yes.
Okay.
I didn't get to have my discussion, if I might.
Yes.
I would just like to say that I believe this will be an excellent opportunity for us to air all those questions that we might have regarding existing and grandfathering and so on. Once that information comes back to us, then we'll be able to really work through those issues. So because of that, I will be in support of this motion.
Okay. So let's close off discussion. And normally to continue is just a voice vote, but let's just do a roll call.
Yes.
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 Councilmember Molnar?
No.
Mayor
Scholl? Yes. And so, staff, you will let us know when this will be coming back, as far, and also letting all those who have spoke here, and we'll do noticing again as well. Okay, and we know it'll be a spirited discussion then. City Manager, I would ask, I think this is a very contentious item that we, on that night, when we keep the rest of the agenda very light.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's take a 10-minute break. Let's reconvene at 8:40. So are we ready? Okay, I'm going to reconvene the regular meeting for the group.
Agenda as presented.
I'll second that.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. Roll call.
Yes.
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 Councilmember Peterson?
Yes.
And Mayor Scholl?
Yes. Okay, let's move on to our regular business. This is item number 7, and this is an appointment to the Citizen Oversight Committee. Administrative Services Director Chapman.
Honorable Mayor and City Council, tonight we have before you an appointment to the Citizens Oversight Committee for the sales tax. Pursuant to Ordinance 0612, establishing a transaction and use tax, the City Council authorized formation of a Citizens Oversight Committee to consist of 5 citizen members. The committee is to review an annual report summarizing expenditures and revenues generated from the transaction and use tax and budgeted expenditures for the upcoming fiscal year. 2 vacancies occurred on January 15, 2010, with terms expiring of Adam Hill and James Stathos. Both chose not to seek reappointment to the committee. The city received 2 applications. One of the applicants, however, has subsequently moved. As a cost-saving measure, no interviews were scheduled with the advisory screening committee, and it is recommended that the City Council appoint Sue Thole to the Oversight Committee.
Okay, very good. Any questions of staff?
About one.
Okay, Councilmember Peterson.
There was a second position, and we didn't receive any. What happens then? Do we continue to keep advertising, or?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, okay. So someone prepared to make a motion on this
I'll make a motion that we adopt the resolution appointing Sue Thole to fill the remainder of a four-year term on the Citizen Oversight Committee.
I'll second that.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. If there's no additional discussion, roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes, and so is Ms. Thole, she is in the audience.
Sue is available.
So, Sue, please come forward and be recognized. And do you have any comments? We always appreciate when we have citizens who are willing to step up and help out in the community.
Hi, Mayor Scholes and council members. Thank you for the opportunity to be on the committee. It looks like I need to help recruit somebody else.
That would be appreciated.
We like that. Already working. Good.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, and welcome aboard. Okay, let's move on to item number 8, and this is an appointment to the advisor.
A few years. He agreed to continue in a temporary capacity until we were able to advertise and look for the position. We did that, and we received one applicant, Paul Bruner, and who his desire is to continue on the Traffic Advisory Committee. We did not receive any other applicants, so there was no screening committee convened to select that. It is therefore recommended that the City Council reappoint Mr. Bruner to fill a citizen's position on the Advisory Committee for the two-year term scheduled to expire on January 15th, 2013. I'm happy to answer any questions. Mr. Bruner is here in the audience, if you wish to have any questions there.
Great. Any questions of the police chief?
I have one question. I noticed that Mr. Bruner is still employed. Looks like he's Human Resources Director. I know that Mr. Bruner volunteers on the Friends of the Library, because my wife has worked with him, and he puts in a lot of time and does a great job. I wonder, does he really have time for another assignment like this?
He also puts in plenty of time with the police department
as
a volunteer for us as well. And, yes, he does have time. It's a minimal commitment once a month, an hour a month, and he's been good so far on the committee. Yeah.
Outstanding.
But you can ask him that yourself.
Thank you.
Well, I'll make a motion if we're ready.
Thank you.
Okay. I would make a motion that we adopt the resolution reappointing Paul Bruner to a two-year term on the Advisory Traffic Committee.
I'll second that.
Great. And we have a motion. We have a second. There's no additional discussion. Roll call.
Yes.
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 Mayor Pro Tem Mickles?
Yes.
And Mayor Scholes?
Yes. And I think it goes without saying that Mr. Bruno has done a fantastic job on not only this committee and other endeavors he's taken up on behalf of the city, and we're fortunate to have him. So, Paul, would you want to come forward and make some comments?
I'm just reminding you that you are experiencing the world's adventure of democracy. And we got to see it again tonight. And I really appreciate the opportunity to be able to serve this community. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Paula.
Thank you
for putting it all in perspective. Well done, sir. Well done. Okay, we have no pulled consent items tonight. And at this point, I'm going to recess the regular meeting. And I'm going to convene the the improvement agency. Seeing none, I'm going to close it, bring it back, and we have one item. This is our consent agenda. This is item IA1. This is authorization to enter into a contract with Lisa Wise Consulting to prepare a zoning code amendment. So time it may be very timely. Do any members want to pull the item from consent? Does anyone want a staff report? If not, is someone prepared to make a motion on this item?
I'll move for staff's recommendation.
I'll second. If there's a motion and a second, let's do roll call if there's no discussion.
Yes.
Chair Scholes?
Yes.
Board Member Bright?
Yes.
Board Member Molnar?
No.
And Vice Chair Nichols?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries 4-1. We have no improvement agency business, and so I'm going to adjourn the Improvement Agency meeting and reconvene the regular City Council meeting. And we had left off right before Council Community Reports. And due to the hour, I'm going to ask if does anyone have a report they absolutely have to give tonight? If not, if you can hold that over to the next meeting, that would be great. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Let's see. We have no city council member items. How about council communications?
I had a couple.
Okay. So Councilmember Peterson and then Councilmember Bright.
I just wanted to report that I had attended the Learn to Live Green, the Five Cities Green Living event at the Ramona Gardens last week, and it was a really interesting event. A lot of very qualified people speaking and a good attendance, and encourage folks to go out again if the opportunity presents itself. And then also I wanted to extend a thank you to the to our Grover Beach Chamber of Commerce, who have really rallied to help us work with the legislature in terms of keeping our redevelopment agency. They've really put in some time. We met at Mongo's, and I appreciate Mongo's allowing us to have the space, and a lot of people made phone calls and sent emails and faxes. So thank you to the chamber.
Very good, and that's a great communication, so I don't need to bring that up. I would just like to thank all of you for being engaged and helping coordinate that effort. And so far we've been somewhat successful. I know we've reached out to our legislators and Assembly Member Katja Sajjan.
Is it in reference to the email that we received? Okay.
Okay. So why don't you do that one, okay. And then I'll finish.
I just wanted to address an email that was sent to most of us by Clint Wyrick, I believe is how we say his last name. He wanted to address a concern of his regarding an incident that happened in Arroyo Grande where a cross was burned in the yard of an African-American, I guess, mixed-race family. And he's asking that we, as a council, take a position or speak out regarding this issue. And I had responded to him and said that we can't really do anything because it's not on the agenda tonight. However, we could discuss the matter and determine how we might proceed in the future.
Thank you for bringing that up. I did get the email, and I did respond to him as well. And I think you brought it up. We need to see if there is a consensus to see if the council wants to do something as a whole. It is definitely on my list of things to do is to discuss it with the Mayor of Arroyo Grande and the police chief, because I think we know the significance of someone burning a cross in someone's home. And as a father who has raised two young African-American girls in this community, I can't help but be troubled by it. And whether it is a prank or not, it is definitely contrary to, I think, the values that I know I hold and I can say this community holds, because if this community thought that way, I know I would not be sitting in this seat tonight. So whatever the majority would like to do, I will reach out to the two of them. But if we want to take a position as an entire council, I think we'd have to put it on an agenda.
Mm-hmm. Then I would suggest we put it on the agenda. I'll make a motion that we do so.
I'll second that.
Okay. So all in favor?
Shall we direct staff to come back with any sort of a resolution?
So why don't you let me work with staff and let's see what that form that might take.
Very good.
Yeah.
So
I think we have consensus to do that.
And thank you to Clint for speaking
up. Yes, I appreciate that. I know it was very troublesome to me, so I appreciate
annotation and the treatment plan. We really should not ignore it at this point, because that would be very insulting and irresponsible as far as I'm concerned.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure if I agree with you on the insulting and disrespectful, but do you have something you want to say? And then I do want to have the city attorney clarify, because I think there is some legal constraints that we have, and we need to really figure out what is our best course of action and what is our best legal course of action.
I will comment that the board has taken action on the request by one of the board members, and the board has decided not to have any further investigation. We find no reason to have it. And the only other comment I'll make is that all of the allegations that have been made as to the sanitation district are the result of information coming out of two people that have been terminated.
City Attorney.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, Council members. I would caution if the council is contemplating being involved in some fashion in this issue, there are several things that we need to be careful about. First and foremost, this is a personnel matter of a separate agency. Even though we do sit on their board, we have a representative, it is a separate agency entity. And just as the council would probably, in any event, the personnel confidentialities need to be observed, and therefore any information exchange is almost impossible as far as in between the agencies. We do have Mayor Pro Tem who sits on that board, and I think that under the best of circumstances, the council's involvement should be funneled through Mayor Pro Tem in form of instructions or requests. I think that would be the manner in which any such involvement would take place.
Okay. So then maybe some direction to the Mayor Pro Tem?
So would we do that at this point in time?
Or is that
would we have it at another time?
I think if the council wishes to agendize an item to have a conversation with the
meeting, they are separating the engineer and the administrator. And I hope that you are aware that the contract that the district administrator has been operating under specifically states that he will use engineers from his company where possible, or I forget the exact terminology, but he is directed under contract to use the engineers from his company in the sanitation district business.
And I think
that's not
probably
my
needs to
is,
change.
Well, and is that at a limited amount? Is there a threshold?
Yes. Yeah.
What is the threshold?
Yeah.
Do you know? I guess maybe we should agendize this because I have some questions myself. And I know if I do, then other people out there do as well.
We have consensus to place it on an agenda. And so any questions or concerns can be raised, and then our representative can provide information. Okay.
May I make a suggestion to clarify a lot of these questions? We will put this on the agenda, and I would like to invite John Wallace here, who can explain what all of this is about under contract, what he is doing in accordance with the law, with the contract, and under the direction of the board of directors.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, so the final communication that I have is you all know that we now have a joint powers authority in which we have the Five Cities Fire Authority. And things seem to be working out very well with the under the guidance of Fire Chief Hubert. What that means to Grover Beach from a service standpoint is certainly improved service. I think we all agree with that. But from a financial standpoint, I believe our contribution is right at about $1 million, a bit more than that from the general fund. And when we had started down this road many years ago and trying to consolidate the two departments, I know that there was many people who had said, we don't want to just stop at a joint powers authority. We believe ultimately that it needs to be a fire safety district that has some autonomy, that has an ability to generate revenues to pay for those services. And so the folks who benefited the most from it would have a say in that. It's my understanding from sitting on that committee that the Five Cities Fire So I think the long term, then I don't have to say anything else. Sounds like there's consensus. Perfect. Okay. Thank you all. City manager, important comments.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council. Tonight, really what I have is a request to schedule a special meeting to discuss budget options. As you all know, we're in the middle of a two-year budget, but we have projected a deficit in the operating general fund budget for next year. Staff has been working on a series of options. We really would like to present those in a special meeting, almost in a workshop setting, if you will, to get direction from the council relative to those options. It is something that is important to have all council members present, so work to try and get a date when everybody hopefully will be able to attend, and I'm recommending April 20th. If that doesn't work, we could look at potentially some other dates.
Okay.
April is 20th, and then we'll look at some other dates, but that's my recommendation.
April 20th?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm okay with that.
Spoken like a retiree.
I'm okay with it.
Me too, and I'm not retired.
Me neither. Yeah.
Really?
And I don't get benefits either.
You are a big, huge salary. Where's
or
my big,
mileage.
Huge salary?
Or a big, huge salary.
I was going to mention something about that, and I decided not to, but...
I'm sure it wasn't. He didn't mean...
Yeah.
Of course not.
You can get confirmation,
everybody
right?
Everybody knows. Anywho, I'm good for the 20th of April.
I believe...
I don't know what day. Are you okay?
Ooh.
Calendar. I forgot my calendar. Tennessee's over.
I think I have a conflict.
Uh-oh. We could do it on the 18th, which is a regular meeting, and then go a couple hours earlier if that's advisable. The other option is maybe to consider a Saturday session at some point in April.
So we did the 18th. I know that you have one of the bigger challenges. Is that something you can start earlier?
I'd much rather do that than a Saturday.
So like, let's say
5 o'clock?
That would work, sure.
I'll be looking out for it. So.
Thank you.
Okay.
No. Let's give us
enough
time.
Okay. So the 18th at 5 p.m.
You have to change your mm-hmm. racquetball meeting.
Can't you play an hour earlier?
He'll be fine.
My racquetball buddies will all be mad at
me. Nah, you'll get over it. Okay. City Attorney, you have any reports or comments tonight?
Mayor, no, thank you.
Okay, then we do have a closed session item on our agenda this evening for city attorney.
Thank you. Council intends to meet in closed session on one item, and that's evaluation of city employee, and that would be me.
Okay, very good. So then at this point, we are going to just recess into closed session.